Aye.
Approval of board minutes for January 30th, 2025.
Approve the minutes from the January meeting.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Visitor comments?
No submissions.
None. Board member comments? In the packet, there is a written report from Cindy Lockadakis for the legislative fly-in. Were there any questions regarding that report? Thank you, Cindy, for that report.
You're welcome.
Committee reports, resource. Did you have any comments, Cindy, for that?
I actually submitted that for the packet as well. I don't know if it got included or not.
Okay. I don't see it's not in my packet.
Not a written report.
Okay, we don't have a written one.
No, I did send it to you, Sheena, but I can read it real quickly.
Okay, thank you.
A review was made of key volume indicators of hospital census in each functional unit. We're seeing higher numbers in clinic visits, which includes specialty clinics and in swing bed days. Swing bed numbers may be due to patients for whom we do not have space in long-term care at present, and this will need verification. Emergency room visits are down, but this may be that patients are able to get clinic visits instead. We're at capacity with the current configuration in long-term care. In going over the statement of revenue and expenses, it was noted we have now added the 340B program. This has taken time to get lined up, but will help with revenue. Every time a doctor orders a prescription and it's a name brand drug, manufacturers participating in Medicaid agree to provide outpatient drugs at reduced prices. We have deferred some expenses until next year, as it will be a Medicaid rebase year, and having higher expenses in a rebate year is beneficial to reimbursements over subsequent years. So this is strategic. Overall, the hospital revenue is strong, even with some higher expenses. For the balance sheet days, cash on hand is 117, but due to a PERS system getting hacked, it hasn't been receiving payments, and this should be corrected by April or May. Until then, we're holding on to those funds. Other items covered included a submission to the employee retention tax credit. This will be a $3 million credit when received. We also gave notice to the billing company HRG and are shifting to in-house billing. We hope to wrap this up by early March, at which point contractually we'll owe 3 months of payment for services that they were to have previously provided. And additionally, we've been renegotiating rates with Primera, Moda, and Aetna. And we touched on concerns regarding national direction in areas that could influence Alaska's economy, such as essential air service and federal employee reductions, as well as changes to Medicare and Medicaid. These potentially would have major impacts to hospital operations, but at this time, we will continue to monitor developments.
Thank you, Cindy. Did anyone have any questions regarding that report? Thank you, Cindy. LTC, I've got a written report from Marlene regarding that one. Meeting was on February 19th. Action items and various reports were reviewed. The most alarming discussion concerned a new plumbing leak discovered February 4th. The 6-inch steel sprinkler main had a failure due to aging. It was temporarily patched, but a more complete fix must await other replacement parts, including a backflow preventer that is obsolete. The process of fixing the main will necessitate the shutting of the water to the entire facility from the city water shutoff, which could lead to other issues. This is yet another warning that all plumbing systems in the building can fail at any time, leaving the hospital unable to function. Next meeting is March 19th, and I will not be able to attend. Is there another board member that can attend that meeting? Marlene Cushing. March 19th. Are there any? Yes, Joe.
Jared, I think I could attend that March 19th, if you're asking.
Yeah, that would be great. Thanks, Joe. And were there any other questions regarding that report? Okay. Marlene for that report. Okay, infectious control. Did we have anyone with that?
Yeah, this is Joe. I have two infection control meetings to report on because I wasn't here at the last meeting. I attended a infection control meeting December 18th at 1:30. Pretty much the entirety of that meeting was Amy O'Connor presenting on infection prevention and control at PMC. There was a Department of Health risk assessment done in August, and Amy went over some of the findings and also announced that at the end of the meeting that Rachel Candle would be the infection prevention coordinator going forward. Then I just attended an infection control meeting February 19th. Aaron at Public Health reported out that COVID and RSV rates were low, but flu was on the rise. Also discussed a pilot project that was going to happen in Petersburg for rapid HIV and syphilis testing. And we went over infection prevention updates from Rachel Candle. Risk assessments for critical access hospital and long-term care were approved at the meeting. And then there were several different action items that were discussed. Cleaning chemicals, some reportables from the lab. There was an outpatient antibiotic stewardship report that's in the works. And also replacement of a wash basin chair in long-term care. Lab also reported out that there were no MDROs. I guess that's about all I got from that. Those two meetings, thanks.
Any questions for Joe? Thank you, Joe, that report. Kinderskog, did we have a report on that?
I did submit a report that may also have come in later than was able to make it into the packet. I reviewed, I'm not pulling it up on my phone real quickly here, but they met all of their program goals for 2024. They got certification for, and Phil, you may be able to fill in the name of the camp association. I have that not stamped in my head.
The American Camps Association.
That's correct. And are looking at daycare certification from the state. There's some steps that we're still trying to work through. And they've had an addition to the staff, as well as some people who have had to step away or step back a little bit. Jake Clemens is a new staff person, doing quite well and taking on some extra responsibilities. And they had a rate review meeting yesterday, I believe. The rates for Kinderskog have not changed since 2018. So there was a discussion on that. And there was one other issue that's not coming right to the top of my head, but that that is kind of the bulk of it.
Any questions for Cindy? Thank you, Cindy, for that report. Reporting imaging, we have a report from imaging. Were there any questions? Yes, go ahead, Joe.
The critical access hospital committee meeting there, we skipped it over, but there was a critical access hospital committee meeting in January, which I attended, and we went over some of the action item lists, discuss a digital formulary and a HIPAA security officer, a request from staff for an active policy list. Colorectal screening documentation was closed out and determined to be finished. We also discussed hospital price transparency and new requirements there. We went over incidence reports for December and January. Medical director Dr. Hess spoke on a new project on opioids. Kelly with primary care discussed hypertension and diabetes management. And Rachel with infection control talked about a pre-clin station that was up and running. And in radiology, Sonia mentioned some end of the year wrap-ups. That was kind of that meeting in a thumbnail.
Sorry for skipping over that. Any questions for Joe? Thank you, Joe, for that report. Okay, now for Sonia's report on radiology. Did anyone have any questions on that report? I did have one myself. It sounds like you put in there that you're going to have to replace an ankle brachial index exam machine. And what is that, and how much does it cost to replace it?
Good evening. Approximately. Yeah, good evening. Sonia Paul here. An ABI machine, or like you said, an ankle brachial index, is basically a continual wave Doppler machine. So it continually sends out sound waves that we then use a blood pressure cuff on a patient's legs or arms to detect and look at the waveforms. And then it gives us a number at which the pulses end at, and it comes up with a blood flow calculation for your legs and basically the dynamics of blood flow through your legs. It's a relatively inexpensive machine, I believe. I have not had to replace one since I've been around in the past 12 years. I'm hoping it's within $10,000 or so probably for that. So it basically looks at arterial blood flow in your legs.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Would that be a capital project, or would that be something that you just purchase?
It would fall under capital, but we would be able to cover it if it's in need now, for sure. Yeah.
Any other questions for her? Thank you, Sonia. Mm-hmm. Lab, any questions on the report written by Violet? Thank you, Violet, for that report. Long-term care report. Any questions regarding that report by Helen?
There's one question. What is Dawn? Says nursing staff.
Director.
Says one LTC Don, D-O-N.
Director of nursing.
Huh?
Director of nursing.
Oh, director. Okay.
Under the section labeled patient-centered care, it says that long-term care is currently in our survey window. I guess I was wondering what that meant from December to June of 2025. What would the survey window be?
Every long-term care is every year's annual survey from the state. And
state.
Yeah.
Questions for that? Seeing none, thank you, Helen, for that report. Patient financial services. Any questions regarding that report by Carrie?
Those are new people, those ones on board or coming on board. In the report, it shows new and current people.
This is Carrie Lantine. I'm the manager. When I did the count of positions, since we had hired so many new people, I kind of wanted to break it out so that you could see who was currently working at PMC and who the new hires were and where what positions they went into. So currently, everybody on here is now a PMC employee.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Carrie? Thank you, Carrie, for that report. Facility? Construction report?
Hello, everyone. Justin Wetzel with Arcadis. Construction report for the new work building. Site work paused for the winter months, but we'll be starting back up again in March and continuing through April. That includes final grading of the site, specifically on the work side, not so much the hospital side, landscaping, pouring concrete sidewalks, and the service driveway. All other exterior improvements will be done around the same time and should be completed by May 1st. In terms of the work building, exterior clad insulation is nearly complete and the metal siding has started. Interior building, lots of work going on inside. Casework is nearly complete, acoustical ceiling grid, and flooring's being installed, as well as data communication comms wires are being ran throughout the building. The MRI addition steel has arrived and is actually currently being installed. And off-site, we have ETS Lindgren fabricating the RF copper shield for that, as well as working on procurement with Siemens for the SOU chillers, power conditioner, and the magnet itself. All scheduled for arrival into Petersburg around June. New hospital design put the design on hold at 35% and is currently pending. And we did submit a phase five permit for the remainder, basically the road that would go through into Excel, and the current status of that is it's under review. Upcoming activities for March, exterior siding will continue, exterior concrete hard surfaces, flooring, fire alarm, mechanical electrical trim, MRI addition, steel and framing, and then through into April, landscaping, testing, commissioning, and then the MRI addition, which is basically just lagging a little bit in the construction sequencing. No changes in the budget. And I just added a couple photos there on the second page. Elevator installation, casework installation, and then the exterior clad buildup with metal siding. Questions?
Thank you for that report. Quality report by Stephanie. Were there any questions on the quality report? Thank you, Stephanie, for that report. Infection prevention report by Rachel. Any questions regarding that one? None. Thank you, Rachel, for that report. Executive report.
Phil. Hi, this is Phil. Looking at this report, it looks like feels like a lifetime ago already. The main thing was the fly-in, legislative fly-in, and having with the Alaska Hospital Healthcare Association, in meeting with a number of senators and representatives. During that meeting, I listed those below, primarily related to the new facility capital funding and request at that time. Obviously, that was before the chaos of the Medicaid cuts, so I thought I was well received, or at least you know, Cindy, you were there. It was a lot more positive than I expected at the time. But like a lot of things are changing rapidly on the landscape. It had felt like it was very productive. Discussion up there, came back. As many people mentioned, we have had the Kinderskog meeting. We did advocacy in Juneau, met with Representative Zach Fields, who does a lot of work with child care. And Katie's going up to Juneau next week to also advocate a couple of things related to state licensures, because it's an outdoor ACA program. We want to make sure that we have the low-income, certification or subsidy for that program. And that's one of the advocacy points. Jason will go over to financials. One thing I do want to mention is, and commend Carrie on the rev cycle, that she had shown that graph about the FTEs, and part of that is the project bringing the revenue cycle and billing in-house. And that's quite a hurdle. And forever since I've been here, we've been talking about accounts receivable and high AR and working with difficult outsourced companies. And I'm very, very glad to see that actually come to fruition. So it was really a strong team effort. It's not done. It's a very complex process. So it takes a lot of teamwork with different entities and managers and Jason and his group, and then also Carrie and now her team. So more to come on that. I'd like to see those AR days go down. Thanks to Justin for being here in person and being on site, working through the new facility. It seems like it kind of, I tell staff, it kind of goes up and down, like pretty much like a cycle or a jagged line, depends on the timing of the project. But right now, in the sort of the process of assessing the furniture, fixtures, and equipment, and working on assessing that and going through the spaces, which is really nice, as staff can go up into the spaces and walk through them and kind of get a feel for workflow, location, and where things should be, make sure that we're optimizing efficiencies when we're in those spaces with the furniture. Let's see. Longevity Luncheon, thanks to Cindy here. I saw her over there. There she is. For restarting the Longevity Luncheon, we have, it's always amazing to me. I've been in other organizations, people who receive 10 years is usually a really long time. In most places, we have 10, 15, 20, 25, and 30. Right, Cindy? That's right. So that was very nice to put a luncheon on and celebrate and recognize many of the staff there. Today, I had an employee forum. Tomorrow we have two more sessions. It's basically the all-staff meeting. So working through that. Thanks, Jim, for being there today. Volumes are steady. I mean, typically we see a drop-off in the winter months. We haven't seen that. And I, again, commend all the staff for working really hard. Clinic has done a super job maximizing the efficiencies in their department related to scheduling and allowing sort of creative scheduling for increasing access to care for patients, and that's going really well. And long-term care is pretty steady on the census, lots of need, and inpatient, they got a little lull, and then it came back again, I think, and again, it's also one of those areas that kind of comes and goes, but still pretty busy. When you look at it over the year, it's one of the highest from the swing bed side, at least. That's it. I attached a couple of add-ons here, the grants, just to give you an idea of the grants, so it's separated in nice and neat, and Katie McKay does that for us, so she's our grants coordinator, which is really nice. I added the new project update handout I had updated with Bettysworth North and sort of a team effort to get that handout together, that new one, so I can hand that out in Juneau. And then there's also a letter attached to the governor back in December. I worked with Alaska Hospital and Healthcare Association on getting AHA to put it as one of the initiatives for legislative support for capital projects for specifically three hospitals, Cordova, South Peninsula, Homer, and PMC. And Katie also helped write a large part of this, and I want to thank her, and that was submitted. So just to give you a copy of that. And then I had a couple of items not in here, not in the report that PMC Live was today. So that was productive. We talked about the Medicaid cuts. I think it's worth noting here. If you didn't get a chance to listen to that, I also asked the CEO of Alaska Hospital and Healthcare Association, Jared Kosin, to join us, which he did. And we had Brandy Boggs here, who's helping with the long-term care planning. And she had talked about that. But, you know, when we talked about the Medicaid cuts at the federal level, how does that impact Petersburg and PMC? And so it's worth listening to if you can go click on the KFSK website. It's a good level of detail that we went into, both at the high level at state and also at Petersburg. When we're looking at the way that the funding allocation occurs with Medicaid, it occurs in a matched situation. So, you know, Medicaid is generally 50% the state puts in for through their general fund, and then 50% comes from the federal government to the state for general Medicaid. But then there's also expansion, which is 90% of that comes from the federal government, and then the state chips in 10%. And then there's also, what's the other? There's various services, and there's different percentages related to the types of services. And how that cut, if it does go through, which we're hearing mixed review, of course, how that translates to cuts at the state, we don't know, because we don't know what those states going to do with that shortfall. And then how that would then trickle down to PMC, we wouldn't know until we have that information. So just so you know that we're on top of that, there's no action to be done yet. But we do calculate our Medicaid costs and revenue and what the impacts to the budget, depending on the type of service. And we will just, we'll react when the time comes. So we're staying abreast of that. That's all I had.
Questions for Phil? Thank you, Phil. Financials.
Hello, everyone. This is Jason. Should be able to see on the screen there.
Yep.
I would just say that Cindy did an excellent job. I'm surprised at how well we've been training her up to be a CFO. She's doing a great job. And appreciate Phil. He covered a lot of important subjects. I'll give a brief down through the financial statements, but most folks have this in their packets. Let me come down here. I always like reviewing the patient volumes, first of all. So 855 clinic visits last month, fairly strong month. The radiology procedures, 194, down just a little bit. Lab tests, kind of an average number, 1,655. Rehab has been strong for a little while, so 1,047. Home health visits has rebounded well this year, 160 visits last month. Emergency department down just a little bit, surprised about that. I mean, I would call it an average number, but being that it's flu season, as Cindy indicated, I really suspect that clinic is doing an excellent job of getting people into the clinic who are showing up with flu-like symptoms, respiratory symptoms. And greatly appreciate them doing that. I think the community does too. And acute, you know, average number of inpatients, but patient swing bed days are down. We've been very high over previous months, but that's okay. We're still running very, very high volumes for the year. And then the nursing home, 434. So general synopsis is patient volumes are strong, which when you come back up here to the income statement, and we look at that for the month, of course, our total gross patient revenues were $2.4 million. This is about $111,000 above budget. So contractuals and things of that nature, giving us net patient revenues of $1,977,000 compared to a budget of 1.8. So we're just about $100,000 over budget, which is good. Our expenses, because, you know, it takes more staff, more supplies, more medications to care for patients since we're busy. So those numbers are up. So we can see that our total expenses are about $81,000 above budget at $2,151,000. Calculating our net surplus or net income for the month at $21,000. We have been tucking away a little bit of money, anticipating a refund to Medicare when we're paid on our costs, not based on our patient volumes. And so when volumes are high, it indicates that we may have to repay Medicare when it gets time to file the cost report. So we tend to reserve for that. So investments were okay for the month, rebounded a little bit in January. And so $91,000, of course, doing well with regards to the capital grant for the construction. So just wanted to highlight a couple things. Cindy shared that the PERS system was hacked and they weren't able to collect payments. They did get that turned back on, and we have begun processing those payments, trying to do one or two a week, trying to get caught back up. Not that it's our issue. We've been holding those funds. There's not a question with regards to having the cash. It's just a matter of getting all that data entered into their computer system and then processing the payment that goes with that. So it takes a little bit of time and effort, but we're working through that so that we can get that done as quickly as possible. Certainly our employees and folks may be concerned, hey, why aren't my funds being deposited into my account? We're being told that whatever days were missed will be made up for by the PERS system, since it was a hack on their part. Not that they hacked it, but somebody hacked their system. So it's not an issue on our part. It's an issue on their part. So a couple projects that we'll be working on, kicking off the budget season. Cindy mentioned about 340B, we started to see a small payment. Those volumes are picking up. We're excited about that. We're excited about insourcing the business office, resolving a few other issues with some insurance companies, things of that nature. So by far and large, it's been a strong year. It's been a strong month. No significant glitches other than this upcoming discussion about budget cuts for Medicaid. We are grateful that, given some uncertainties that we're seeing in the government, we do have some reserves in our bank account. Should something come up, we do have some days cash on hand until, things could be resolved. So we're not sitting in a situation where any loss in cash flow would be a dire situation for us. We would be able to deal with a few weeks or a few months to work out some issues. Our government, gratefully, has three parts to it. And when they work together, when they do their respective parts, we get a better solution. But sometimes it takes time to get through that process. But we are keeping an eye on things. That's probably the area that we're all watching very closely to see, what are the changes that are going on and how might it be impacting our community. How might it be impacting our healthcare system? So does anyone have any questions with regards to the financial statements?
Doesn't look like it. Thank you, Jason.
Okay. Well, Cindy wins the award for being an honorary CFO.
Okay. Moving on down, it looks like we're at the end here. Next meeting is scheduled for Thursday, March 27th. Is everyone going to be here for that, as far as I know? Do I have a motion to go into executive session to consider medical staff appointments and reappointments?
Make a motion we go into executive session to consider medical staff appointments and reappointments.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thanks, Jason.
Thank you, Jason.
You're welcome. Thank you all.